service.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is Jake, and I want to tell you about a brand new podcast from my company Double Elvis in collaboration with Volume.com called The Singer's Talk. This show is based on the book of the same name written by Jason Thomas Gordon, the singer and drummer for the LA rock band King Size. And just like the book, The Singer Talk podcast features in-depth, illuminating conversations with some of the most iconic singers of all time, discussing the one thing they're never asked about, their voices. So whether you're a singer or a music fan, you're going to get a wild inside look at how your favorite vocalists approach singing live and in the studio. This is a fascinating podcast. These are raw, intimate conversations with incredible artists like Tom York, Norah Jones, Roger Daltrey, Geddy Lee, and so many more. Also, interviews with bandmates and producers of singers that are no longer with us, like Prince, Janis Joplin, Chris Cornell, and Nina Simone. That's The Singer's Talk. You can search for it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know the drill, wherever you get your podcasts. Give it a follow or check it out on volume.com/The Singer's Talk. Disgraceland is brought to you by Disgraceland All Access. Disgraceland All Access membership is your chance to support the show and get ad-free listening, an exclusive scripted episode every month, and exclusive bonus content every week, plus access to an always-on chat with me and your fellow discos. Visit disgracelandpod.com/membership and sign up today. Hey, discos. Need a little more Disgraceland in your life? Just a touch to get you through? Yeah, me too. This is the podcast that comes after the podcast. Welcome to Disgraceland, the after party. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode, a little thing we like to call the after party. This is the show after the show, the party after the party, the bridge to get you from one full episode of Disgraceland to the other, the backyard to dig into the dirt. On this episode, we are talking about Lil' Kim, a literal Red Sox heartbreaker from a caller, fiddler, and of course, your voicemails, texts, DMs, and more. And as always, a whole lot of Rosie. All right, discos, let's get into it. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the Disgraceland bonus episode where we are hoping to not perjure ourselves and get sent to the big house like this week's subject of Disgraceland, Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim, on record, might be the baddest female artist of them all, as we outlined in this week's full episode of Lil' Kim in Disgraceland. And off record, Lil' Kim was also bad, bad, bad. Lying is bad. Lying is not good in any aspect of your life, and it will not get you very far in criminal court, okay? And shootouts are also, you got it, bad. Shootouts in broad daylight, especially bad. In the middle of a major city like downtown Manhattan, also the makings of bad, bad individuals. The crime here at the heart of the Lil' Kim story, it's, again, detailed in the full episode. I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. But what I want to drill down into here in this bonus episode, the part of the story that I thought was interesting that I didn't get to spend a lot of time on, sometime, but not a lot of time on in the full episode, is the punishment for the crime that Lil' Kim committed. And look, it's a simple story. Lil' Kim and her crew, they were involved in a shootout. Lil' Kim lied on the stand to protect her crew. And Lil' Kim was proven to be a liar. She perjured herself. She was sentenced to real time, a year and a day. And she did almost all that time. She got out on good behavior, a couple months shaved off her sentence or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. The judge who, this is ridiculous. The judge who sentenced Lil' Kim was inspired by Martha Stewart's sentencing for her crime of insider trading. But Martha Stewart got to do her time in a minimum security prison. Lil' Kim was sent to Philadelphia Federal Detention Center. Now, you can argue whether or not that's fair or not, or what the reasons behind it were, the type of crime that Lil' Kim perjured herself over versus the type of crime that Martha Stewart was involved with. But lying is lying, and the punishments here were different, okay? Lil' Kim, like Martha Stewart, though, thrived after her release from prison. Lil' Kim dropped her fourth album, The Naked Truth, from behind bars. It was something like her first week in jail or something, in prison, excuse me, that record came out. And it was a smash. And for a moment there, upon Lil' Kim's release and throughout the mid-aughts, her career thrived. Like, it was a whole other thing. It was a whole new act. It was huge. It was massive. I mean, record sales, big albums, the whole thing, shows, everything. So, you know, the question is, this is what I want to get into. There's the issue of the punishment. Was the punishment fair, right? The judge was said to have been inspired by Martha Stewart's sentencing, and that's what influenced the sentencing of Lil' Kim. Yet the types of prisons they were sentenced to were two totally different things. Okay, so number one, was the punishment fair? Number two, did going to prison help Kim's career? Did it help her career thrive? It's my opinion that prison definitely helped Tupac's career after he got out of jail. California Love, banger single. And his death row profile post-prison, he was huge. And again, California Love might be his best song. Lil Wayne, weapons and drug charges that resulted in an 8 to 12 month sentence. We detailed the Lil Wayne stuff back in season 7 of Disgraceland. Post-prison, Lil Wayne, huge. Okay, huge. Even now, he's nothing if not culturally relevant. He's massive. Steve Earle. I don't know if a lot of you know Steve Earle. He's this, hardcore troubadour, Americana, country guy, great songwriter. Was supposed to be the heir to Bob Dylan. Started hanging around with Guns N' Roses in the '80s. Got hooked on a lot of drugs. Did time for narcotics beef and wrote an incredible record, Train of Coming, from behind bars. And you know, when he did that, he got out of jail. Yeah, that record came out and he got a Grammy nomination for the album after his release from prison. Merle Haggard, another country guy, much earlier than Steve Earle, obviously. His entire career came post-prison time in San Quentin. Paul McCartney. He did time. It was only 10 days and it was in 1980, but it was in a real prison in Japan. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Paul McCartney has had quite the career over the past 40 years. So what about the musicians who are currently behind bars? YNW Melly, or what about TK47, or Big Lurch, two artists that we covered back in season 1 of Disgraceland, or R. Kelly, who's in jail right now, who we haven't covered, who I'm waiting to cover, who I'm still trying to figure out how to cover, or Suge Knight. I know Suge Knight is not a musician, but he's definitely music industry. He's been featured heavily on this show in multiple episodes on Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. When these guys get out, more specifically, these artists, are they going to have careers if they get out? You know, are they going to have bigger careers? 617-906-6638. Let me know your answer and let me know which musician has had the best post-prison career in your eyes. Lil' Kim, Merle Haggard, Lil Wayne, Paul McCartney. And assuming they're ever released, can we expect any careers at all from R. Kelly, TK, or Big Lurch? I think I know the answer to that one, but I'm going to ask anyways. 617-906-6638. Leave your answer via voicemail or text, or you can hit me at Disgraceland Pod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, wherever, Twitter. I'll be back in a flash. All right, we are back, and you know the drill, as I said there at the end of that block, 617-906-6638 to send a text or leave a voicemail, like Amber here from North Carolina in the 252.
Hey, Jake, it's Amber from North Carolina in the 252. I got to say my top five are Lupe Fiasco, Brother Ali, Biggie, Atmosphere, and I don't know, I guess I'll throw in Twista or Common. Or me. One of those two. All right. Thanks for the great work. I've been a long time listener. Keep up.
All right. Thanks for the voicemail, Amber. Amber was kind enough to send us to send in her top five MCs. This is a question that surfaced in one of our bonus episodes from a couple days back. Solid list. But Amber, I don't know that I have any of your top fives on my list. Mine are decidedly more old school and will likely generate much side eye from you youngins. Number one, I go Ice Cube. Number two, Jay-Z. Three, Slick Rick. Four, Chuck D. Five. Can I say all three Beastie Boys for number five? Can I? I can. I'm making up the rules. So that's what I'm going to do. Ad-Rock, Mike D, MCA combined for number five. That's my top five MC list. Got a lot of incoming on this. I feel like this deserves its own sort of episode or something. There's, like I said, in our mini episode, the 50th anniversary of hip hop is coming up. I want to explore this question more. Top five MCs of all time. We've got 50 years to choose from. Is Eminem on this list? Who else? Who are we forgetting? Who are we not talking about? Nas. God, there's so many. Lil Wayne. There's so many here that we should probably litigate to some degree. I'm not exactly sure in what forum, but I want to dig in a little deeper. 617-906-6638. We'll get into more of your top five MCs. Keep the recommendations on that one coming. Your suggestions, let me know. All right, I've been talking a lot about sports lately, mainly baseball and a little basketball, sort of with some levity, but mainly baseball because I'm once again obsessed with the sport. And despite the Red Sox and how they've been playing this year, though they have been good over the last weekend, they just swept the Yankees, and I was there for one of the games. Yeah, I'm all in on the Red Sox. I'm all in on the College World Series for the first time in my life. I'm all in on the Miami Marlins as a National League team. A lot of this has to do with my kids. I talked about this before, but we got this message here. This might be a Hall of Fame Disgraceland voicemail here from Mark in the 401. Let's listen to it.
Jake, this is Mark in Providence. I'm going to speak nice and slow. I'm not going to overmodulate. The Boston Red Sox, the last home game I saw was October 1st, 2004, Sunday night. The Red Slobs were down 0-3. I had box seats near my girlfriend. We were freezing our fucking asses off in the fourth running inning. I said, Pat, let's get the hell out of here. We get on the tee, drive out to get out in the tee station with, 13 stops, get in the car, go home. Red Sox famously stole a base. David Ortiz hit a home run. They won the World Series. I left. I'm the joke of the town. Can't believe it. First game, and then the following year, 2005, they get their rings. Guy across the street says, I'm pumped. I'm going to watch this game. I took the day off. I was working in a bank. They owed me a day off. Within 1 hour of the game starting, the ambulances pull up to his house. He dies of a fucking heart attack. He was so excited. He owned the Old Timers Tap in Providence, Rhode Island. True story. None of it's false. If you want, Google it. That was the first opening day of 2005. But I was there 2004, and I missed the whole motherfucking thing. Okay? I'm trying not to overmodulate. That was a terrible phone call I made. Thanks. Rock and roller.
Wild story, Mark. Dude, I don't even know what to say except to channel my inner De Niro and from Copland and just say, you blew it. You blew it. Should have stayed at that game, dude. Although I don't blame you for leaving. I probably would have done the same thing. Seriously, that's like just in my nature to do that. Yeah, man, I don't know what to tell you. That's an all-timer. That story belongs in like a fucking Matt Damon movie or something. Sorry to hear about your friend's heart attack as well. That is brutal. You know, and Mark, you know, you're free to overmodulate with me anytime you want, brother. All right. Also, Mark, you worked in a bank and you're from Providence, so I'm not convinced that you're not a character from The Friends of Eddie Coyle. So by all means, stay in touch and stay out of prison, okay? Sox might be clawing back this year. Like I said earlier, I was at one of the games over the weekend. I was supposed to go Saturday night with my two sons and my stepdad, little Father's Day plan. It poured out. They rescheduled for Sunday, and we get there. We sit down. Yankees go up 2-0 first inning. It's like, oh boy, this is going to be brutal. Then the Sox came back and they won. And it was actually a really great game. It wasn't a blowout. It was close for a while. And then the Sox went ahead comfortably. It was an awesome time. Only thing that was weird and different is like I've been to a lot of Red Sox Yankees games at Fenway, and I have never, ever seen this many Yankees fans at a Red Sox game in my life. It wasn't 50-50, but it felt like it at times. It felt close. It was brutal. And just like Yankees fans, like brazen. I remember a time when that was not allowed at all, not even close. I suppose it's better that it is now, but still, it was a little like, what the fuck? Anyways, Yankees lost. Yankees got swept, all right? So there you have it. Also, I just got to say to Red Sox fans, the Yankees suck chant, right? Like, it doesn't work when the Yankees are four games up in the standings. We sound like assholes, okay? It's an asshole chant if you're behind the other team. Unless you're in like a division series or something and it's a one-game playoff or something like that and, you know, somebody fucks up on the other team or something, I get that. But when you're down four games in the fucking standings, like, come on, we're better than that, Boston. All right, enough sports. Let's do this voicemail from the 801.
Hey, dude, yeah, man, I love your show. I love the lyrical way you put your words together. I mean, it's not just the fantastic stories, but it's like poetry listening to you. And I really like your thing on Robert Johnson. And there's a lot of stuff of yours I haven't heard yet, so hey. But I was listening to your after party with Justin Bieber, and you were talking about bad dads. And you might check out Rick James. He was like a kind of a pop star in the 70s. I think it was like soul, pop, funk. His dad killed him, from what I understand. And also, if you could do a show about rock stars who themselves are bad dads, like John Lennon, he used to brag about how he loved hitting women. And John Lennon also left his first wife and child with no child support. So anyway, some ideas, and thanks for the great show. And that's it. Goodbye. Adios. Adios from Sacramento. Bye.
All right. Thank you, 801, for the kind words about Robert Johnson and for your listenership. A couple things. I believe you're a new listener, so I'm going to just give you a couple things here. I believe you're confusing Rick James with Marvin Gaye, but 801, I have no fear, 801. We have episodes on both artists, including Marvin Gaye's murder at the hands of his father. Just in time for Father's Day. And also on Father's Day, I hear you on John Lennon. However, I think that the story is a little more nuanced. For what I mean on that, check out the three John Lennon episodes that we've done, specifically the two-parter that's further back in the archive. And we get into his relationship with Sean, not so much Julian. But yeah, John Lennon, not a perfect guy, made some mistakes, atoned for a lot of them. Definitely not a black and white situation. So check that out, 801, and let me know what you think. All right, get back to me, leave another voicemail. Okay, good voicemails. I'm trying to keep these episodes tight, trying to keep them to about 25, 30 minutes. So, you know, we've got, I don't know if you guys know, we've got this other bonus episode that was mini episode we're doing, on Mondays where we're teeing up the week. I'm answering the emails over there now. We've got the wrap party where I'm also answering voicemails and texts. Gonna hope to be doing more of that on social media as well and really round out this engagement with you guys as best as I possibly can. Let's, though, for the time being right here, move on from the voicemails and get into some texts. All right, in the pre-party episode, we talk about odd music collaborations in our mini episode on Monday with because of the Lil' Kim Tommy Lee thing that went down. So I asked you guys for some of your stranger music collaborations. Got this one from the 314. Okay, for odd music collaborations, I don't know if you can get any weirder than Bing Crosby and David Bowie doing Little Drummer Boy. Yes, that is weird. Super weird, but it works somehow. A lot of you guys will know that one. I got a weird one coming up for you later in this episode. And when I read that text, the reason I picked that text to read, I read all the texts in real time. I don't sort of like pre-vet them or anything. When I read it here, when I glanced at it, I read Bing Crosby as David Crosby, and my brain went, oh my God, David Crosby and David Bowie collaborated together? That's fucked up. But of course, it was the Bing Crosby one. All right, let's move on. in reference to our summer soundtrack question from a couple weeks back. From the 281, we've got a text here. Summer of Love. Oh, we're asking about best summer jams in light of Summertime by Will Smith. So 281 writes in, hi, Jake. Summer of Love by the B-52s. I don't know that song. Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. I know that song. I bought that on 45 when I was a little boy. How cheesy was I? Boys of Summer by Don Henley. Yep, great one. Summer Nights by Grease, or In Grease, I should say. And Last Summer by The Motels. I don't know that one. And bonus track, Hot Child in the City. All right, that's a solid list there. Solid list, some classic rock ones there. What else we got here? From the 864, Jake, father of all podcasts. Happy Father's Day from your number one fan, Elaine. Lainey from the 864. Thank you, Lainey. I appreciate that. Let's see what else we got here. Got another text here from the 410. Is that right? It says, thanks for the Foo Fighter interview. Got my t-shirt, been online 3 hours. Grabbed two Madonna tickets for Boston, 831-23. That's awesome. Have fun at Madonna. I'm a little bummed. I bought Madonna tickets when she was supposed to come about 2 years ago. And maybe it might have been more, 3 years ago. She canceled. And it really pissed me off for some reason. I was really excited to go. So when she announced these shows, I was like, fuck that. Fuck Madonna. But that's just silly. I don't know. I should probably go see Madonna. I don't think she's going to be around touring much longer. I don't mean that to sound like there's anything ominous happening, but, you know, how long can people tour for? That's all I'm saying. All right. All right, got a text here from the 508. Hey, Jake, this is Tracy from the 508, and it's not my Aunt Tracy because she spells her name differently. She says, I'm admittedly playing catch-up on episodes, and I'm about to listen to the Bieber episode. Not my music, but I'm so glad that you did it. I feel like his story is exactly the type of story that the podcast is about, no matter what his style of music is. I'm interested to hear your take on it. I've often wondered how I would have handled that much money and freedom at that age. I'm pretty sure I'd have engaged in some bad behavior, too. So I've always given him a little slack. Love the pod. Thanks for doing what you do, Tracy. Thanks, Tracy. And yeah, you know, it's from the beginning, this podcast has not been about a particular style of music. I definitely follow my interests and I am more inclined to the classic rock, punk rock, hip hop universe than I am the pop universe. But still, to me, it's all about the humanity. It's all about the human stories. So I'll go in any direction I can. And I'm happy to hear that you are here for it. Thank you, Tracy. All right, we'll do one more text here from the 928. Greetings, Jake. Love all the Double Elvis offerings. Just listened to the After Party episode with Chris Shiflett, and I automatically thought of a couple guitar players he should try to get, Tim Henson and Scotty LePage, both of Polyphia. If you've not heard these guys, you should. Thank you for your hard work and keep the episodes coming. Please, you got it, 928. I've never heard of Tim Henson and Scotty LePage, but I will pass this message along to the folks at Double Elvis, to the producers, and to Chris. And, of course, this is in reference to the Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters podcast that we produce for Double Elvis called Shred with Shifty. This is, if you guys don't know about this, you probably do because I interviewed Chris in the last After Party. But if you don't, it is a podcast Chris has with a video component where Chris sits down with some amazing guitar players and they go through their legendary riffs as sort of a tutorial of sorts. And it's with some pretty big heavy hitters that you're going to want to learn your riffs from. So search Shred with Shifty wherever you get your podcasts. All right. You guys know, 617-906-6638. That is the way to contact me. Leave me a voicemail, send me a text, but you can also get in touch via Instagram, Facebook, and even sometimes Twitter. I will respond. But mainly Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And let's do a couple DM responses here. Let me pull up the old Instagram machine, make sure I got the right stuff. Here we go. So this one from, who is this from? Ashley Lauren writes, first of all, it's a picture of the Bon Scott statue, which is a pretty great statue. It says, Bon Scott statue in Fremantle, where he grew up. My friend's dad told me the other day he was a professional footballer in Frio in the 70s, and Bon Scott always stole the girls he picked up. He couldn't compete, but he couldn't hate him because he was too good of a guy. That's a pretty cool message. Thank you, Ashley Lauren. What else we got? I apologize if I screw up the pronunciation of your name here, but I got Jeanette Vecchiarelli. I think that's right. It says, very simply put, I love your podcast so much. I come home from hikes and I constantly quote, did you know, to my husband. Love that. Thanks, Jeanette. That makes me happy. All right. This one is from the Carpet Beatniks on Instagram. Hey, Jake, I'd love it if Shifty could interview David Rawlings. How he shreds on an acoustic is wild, but I'd also be curious how he plays with Gillian Welch's voice, or Gillian Welch. I never know which one it is. Also, what are the numbers you give on your callers and emailers? The numbers? The numbers you give on your callers and emailers. Well, there's 617-906-6638. That's how you call in. As for David Rawlings, that's an incredible suggestion for Shred with Shifty. I saw David Rawlings and Jillian slash Gillian Welch back in, I don't know, maybe it was like 04, 05 in Boston. And my goodness, were they good. And he was especially good. The guy is a monster guitar player. All right, at Disgraceland Pod, that's how you get in touch with me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, 617-906-6638. Leave a voicemail and a text. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back in a second with some recommendations. Hey, discos, it's Jake here. Thank you so much for listening to Disgraceland. Your support truly means a lot to me, and it's because of you that my team and I are able to make this show. If you want more Disgraceland, if you want more regular interactions with me and the community of Disgraceland listeners, or if you simply want to listen to the show ad-free, go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. For just $5 a month, you can listen to every episode of Disgraceland ad-free. Plus, you'll get one brand new exclusive episode every month. You'll also get weekly unscripted bonus content, special audio collections, and early access to merch and events. There are two ways that you can support the show and become a member at disgracelandpod.com/membership. You can sign up using Patreon and listen to the show ad-free on Apple, Spotify, and most other major podcast platforms. And Patreon members also get access to all the other perks of membership and an always-on chat where I'll be interacting with you and diving deeper into the world of Disgraceland. But maybe you're currently an Apple Podcast subscription listener and you want to just tap into all the bonus audio content and ad-free listening that we're offering. We're also offering this membership as a premium channel on Apple Podcasts. However you choose to join, all you got to do is go to disgracelandpod.com/membership. Support the show for just $5 a month, $5, or sign up for an annual plan and get 2 months free. Come join me and your fellow discos at Disgraceland All Access by visiting disgracelandpod.com/membership. Hey, discos, jumping in here quickly to tell you about a new giveaway that we put together especially for Disgraceland fans. Listen to this. We teamed up with our friends at Tivoli Audio and D'Angelico Guitar, two legendary brands in audio, to award one of you a prize pack that includes the all-new Tivoli Audio songbook paired with a limited edition D'Angelico electric guitar. The songbook is an incredible vintage-inspired sound system, and you can plug your D'Angelico guitar right into it. It's also got an analog EQ and a 10-hour rechargeable battery so you can take your music and your favorite podcast anywhere. Go to disgracelandcontest.com to see the prize pack and drop your email address to enter for free. Must be a U.S. resident to win. Visit disgracelandcontest.com for full details. That's disgracelandcontest.com. Rock a rolla. All right, the recommendations part. This is the recommendations part, the part where we recommend the things that need recommending, the recommendations part. Guys, all right, what I'm watching, yes, the movie recommendations part is now in the Badlands bonus rap party episode. However, it is here in the after party where we still dig into music-related video content, including documentaries and biopics. And on that, I was, I was home alone over the weekend. Well, I was with my kids, but my wife was away. So, you know, my wife's not watching TV with me. I'm kind of just like cruising. I'm just surfing. I'm just watching 10 minutes of this, 20 minutes of that, half an hour of that, hour of that, staying up way too late. Caught a little bit of Coal Miner's Daughter over the weekend that was just on. I can't remember what network it was on. For those of you who don't know this movie, I feel like there are so many music biopics that get mentioned, and this one seldomly is mentioned as one of the best. And I think it might be the best music biopic out there. I didn't watch the whole thing again, so I don't know. I can't confidently say that, but it's the story of Loretta Lynn. Sissy Spacek plays Loretta Lynn. Levon Helm from the band plays her dad. It's just, what I love about this movie is that it is a hardcore reality check against the other biopics out there. Without giving anything away, it's raw, it's real, there's a grit to it. I believe it's early 80s. It feels 70s, though. And it's just, it's not yet the sort of Hollywood music biopic industry machine had not yet created this mold for these types of movies. So this one kind of existed on its own for a while and could afford to be grittier and raw and more raw and real. And it's just tremendous. And it's a great Loretta Lynn's story in and of itself is fantastic, and they do a great job putting it on the screen. So I highly recommend Coal Miner's Daughter if you haven't seen it. Highly recommend watching it again if you have seen it. It just caught my eye over the weekend. Figured it worth mentioning. What I'm listening to, I don't know why. Maybe because the weather's getting warmer. Maybe because I've been working out more and I need this for the workouts. But I've been listening to a ton of Husker Du. Just all of it, really. The entire catalog, even the sad stuff. And something about it I find to be incredibly motivating. But still, there are so many great Husker Du records. Zen Arcade is one of not just my favorite Husker Du albums, but one of my favorite double albums of all time. People will argue that there's filler on it, but I think even the so-called filler is fantastic on this album. The Grant Hart songs on this record are fucking great. Turn on the News. Oh, my God. But also, Flip Your Wig, New Day Rising. Just, it's this constant. It's banger after banger after banger. And the production is so fucking shitty and 80s and crappy 80s punk. I love it. I love it so much. And I've rediscovered it. And if there are people out there who are into this type of music but have not gotten into Husker Du for whatever reason, because they weren't Black Flag, because they weren't the Sex Pistols, they weren't the Pixies, who fucking cares? They are their own thing, and just they are tremendous. So, if you got questions on where to start with Husker Du, hit me up. Ask me, I will point you in the right direction. Shit, if I get enough incoming on this, I'll even make my own mix, my entry-level correspondence course, Husker Du mix for you folks out there, 617-906-6638 at Disgraceland Pod. I've also been listening to a ton of Fiddler, so much so that I had, about a week ago, I had to forcibly stop myself from listening to this band because their songs were so ingrained into my like wormholing into my brain. It's all I could think about were these fucking silly songs about the same thing, getting completely fucked up in the most juvenile sort of early 20s, post-teenage kind of way. This band, they're not a new band by any means. They've been around for a while, but I've known about them for a while, and I've listened to them here and there for a while. But recently, I've just really dug into this band. I saw a live clip on Instagram. Something popped up in my stories, and it really took me, captured me. So I just, went into the wormhole, and I've yet to come out. I can't. They have this Spotify. Spotify does this sort of like, this is the band, it's like, or whatever, 30 songs on that band that are supposed to be a comprehensive look at the group. There's not one bad fucking song on the Spotify This Is Fiddler playlist. I mean it. There's not one bad song. There's not one skip on it. It's that good. But warning. If you're looking for variety, this ain't your band. They do the AC/DC thing. It's like, or the Ramones thing. It's like, we do one thing and we do it really fucking well. And that thing, with regards to Fiddler, is, fast, in your face, raw, Southern California / modern punk. And every single song is about getting fucked up and your life falling apart. So if you're into that kind of thing, I highly recommend Fiddler. All right. My vintage video watching over the weekend. Now, this is a direct correlation to another topic we have going on here about the weirdest collaborations. And I don't know if the fine folks at Meta and Instagram have figured out a way to make the Instagram machine's algorithm just sort of like jump out of the phone through the air into my ears, wrap itself around my brain, pull my interest out back through my ears and into the phone. And maybe they're listening, of course they're listening. I don't know what it was, but as we're sort of having this talk about weird collaborations, this video pops up with Neil Young and Devo playing together. One of those things where, how the fuck did I not know about this? This is why I love the internet more than, this is the main reason I love the internet. There are these things that have happened in music history. I've read so much music history. It's shocking to me that when I come across things like this that are right in my wheelhouse that I did not know existed. I did not know Neil Young and Devo played together. It's incredible. As you would expect, it's great. So if you know about this already, congratulations and forgive me for boring you. But if you do not know about this, you have to search this out. I'm going to try to figure out a way to post this on my Instagram. Highly recommend the Neil Young Devo collaboration. Tremendous stuff. Again, I'm down for this weird collaboration topic. You want to keep it going. 617-906-6638 for that and any other kind of music or music video or music related content recommendations you guys have. 617-906-6638. Hit me up there or at Disgraceland Pod on the socials and I'll be back in a flash. All right, let's recap, shall we? Number one, Lil' Kim is the latest episode of Disgraceland in your feeds right now. That's the Disgraceland feed. Number two, over in the Badlands feed this week, we've got an episode on Mel Gibson. Number three, next week in the Disgraceland feed, Aerosmith. Number four, my number, 617-906-6638. Call me on the telephone or text me. Leave me a voicemail. Hit me at Disgraceland Pod. All right, in honor of Lil' Kim, me, reading you the phone book from the early aughts in Manhattan. Salinger, Saul, 181 Franklin, WA 5-5800. Celentro, N, 237 F116, LE High, 4-9790. Salino, John, 101 East Broadway, Worth, 2-5949. Selinsky, Beatrice, 105 Avenue B, Gramercy, 5-8289. Salas, AA, 10 West 66, TR, 4-1334. Salas, Mercia, 260 West End Ave, TR, 7-1469. Salison, Raymond, JU, 6-1697. Salisbury, Ann, 125 St. Mark's Place, 0-47703. Salika.
Quit talking and start mixing.
Cut it!